Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine the kingdom and power and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever.
Amen.
So we'll come back. This is our last meeting in this year. The next one will be on January 13. We will resume our disformation classes. So it will be good to maybe to go back a book to read. There's always good habit, you know, to read a little bit every day for this, to feed our souls, because even if you go sometimes back and you read this text, they speak to you. These thoughts are very powerful, and it's good to somehow to refresh. So this is like homework for this 3 weeks, and we are going to continue today in this topic we started. It's on this chapter, I don't know, 20. It's on prayer. So he talks about prayer, and we are, I think, on page 140, somewhere in the bottom. We started to talk about preparation for prayer, and he was talking, he talked about posture, how to stand, even how to dress, you know, especially for the church. He talked about our thoughts, that how we should collect them before we start to pray, for concentration, you know, that to pay attention to our thoughts. And well, today we are going to start with preparation of our heart. So we will start with this paragraph before prayer. May I ask you to? Okay.
Before prayer, sense your heart with the fragrance of the fear of God and holy reverence. Remember that you have angered God with countless sins, which are to him more evident than even to your conscience. Try to win the compassion of the judge through your humility. Be careful. Do not incite his anger with your carelessness and impudence. It is with his good blessing that even those closest to him, the purest of the angelic host, tremble before him with complete reverence and most holy fear.
So, well, when we hear these words, at first, you know, like, I always like how they are almost like poets. It's beautiful written, this first sentence, you know, before prayer, sense your heart with the fragrance of the fear of God. And this common thing, like, for these writers, ascetical fathers, they really use these beautiful formulations, you know, to give us some kind of knowledge. But when we listen to this, and I think that this is many times when we read these saints, especially holy fathers and the saints who teach about spiritual life, so we somehow look at them as it is a voice from the past, and somehow we take their words in this, with this understanding that it is from the past. And because this is, I think, the problem on present time, that we somehow think that we are wiser than people of the past, and we understand better than they understood. And especially this is about this, like we were talking about that, but now it's good to return back, that to have this fear of God and holy reverence, that I think this disappeared. Because how we look at this, we say, well, we understand better God now, and because of that we know that God is love. So to have fear, it's something what is not, it's not correct. It's not something what gospel teaches us. And what in some way it is true that we should approach God as God is love, perfect love, and He loves us. But if we approach it only just without clean heart and mind, so it is offense. You know, we should approach Him, but we have to remember that how can we approach Him if there are passions in our heart? If we still have bad habits, how can we approach Him with some kind of attitude which misses this reverence and this fear? Because we are always when we are entering to God's presence, we should remember that we are entering God who is love, but He is justice too. And He is going to be our judge. And He told us, look, what we are supposed to do, how we are supposed to live. He revealed to us what is His will, and we find in gospel, in these commandments which are there when we were talking about these commandments. And if I approach God and I know that I neglected His will, I didn't care and I didn't force myself to really conquer my passions and to follow His will, so I am as a criminal, as Granchina was saying last time when we were reading about preparation for prayer. We should approach Him begging for help. And somehow this disappearing of understanding of our sins, of our state, is something what causes that this fear of God, this respect, this reverence is missing. You know, that because if I see my sins, my passions, so well, then I am approaching God, I'm coming to His presence as a somebody who is coming to beg for forgiveness, for help. this part disappeared, and I don't know why it is. Why this happened, it's difficult to find all these reasons for that, but it prevails somehow, this forgetness. We are forgetful, and it's difficult for us to really have this fear for God, this reverence. And somehow we feel that this is not correct attitude. But it is the most important thing. I'm not saying that, well, we should not have hope. But, well, we should take it as something what brings us closer to God. Without fear of God, without repentance, there is no growth in spiritual life. Isaac Sirian, he starts his ascetical homilies with sentence, beginning of virtue is fear of God. And when he talk about virtue, it doesn't mean some kind of virtue as a humility or a purity or something. Virtue, and they meant in virtue, is Christ himself. Because in him all virtues are perfect. So they were using this word to describe him. And really, if we are called to be like Christ, to live his life, we should have this virtue. And we cannot reach it when we don't have this fear of God. And it's not something unhealthy. Well, we can do it in unhealthy way, you know, to be really without hope, in depression or something. No, it should be, I don't mean that. I think this is this reality when we see ourselves, who we are, with all our weaknesses, and we have this fear that we can be damned, we can go to hell. We can lose eternal life because we are not doing God's will. So, and this is how, like, a very important part that if I am entering and I want to start to pray, I it's important to acquire this fear of God. Many they recommend that, well, what we are supposed to do, we should think about our sin, possibility of damnation, reality of hell, and realizing that while there are still many sins and passions in my life, that I deserve this damnation. When I realize that, and I meditate just a little bit, my heart will be filled with some pain, and I need to beg, I need to ask for grace, I need to ask for mercy. And this will help us to collect our heart, our thoughts, and really in a correct way to start to pray. All right. Just comments or questions? Nothing. All right, so next two paragraphs.
The garments of your soul must shine with the whiteness of simplicity. There should be nothing complicated. There should be no evil thoughts or feelings of vanity, hypocrisy, falsity, people-pleasing, arrogance, or sensuality. These dark and foul spots that soil the spiritual robes of these praying Pharisees. Instead of pearls and emeralds, instead of gold and silver, decorate yourself with chastity, humble-mindedness, tears of meekness, and spiritual wisdom. And before you receive these tears, adorn yourself with tears of repentance, with childlike, angelic gentleness. Here is a most precious treasure. When the King of Kings sees these decorations on your soul, his merciful gaze will incline to your soul.
Actually, it continues with this previous paragraph, and while he talks about tears, which are a result of this, our simplicity, which we acquire when we start to think about these last things, our death, about eternal life, and we see state of our soul. So for sure it leads us that, well, that we start to put away everything what is like big in our eyes. For some it can be position, for some it can be some kind of success that person experiences during in life, for some it can be even like education, knowledge, intellectual knowledge. And immediately I can, when I see myself naked before God, and I see what is in my soul, so the first reaction usually is that this pain in heart, which causes real tears. It's not something I don't want to. I am not talking about some kind of state when I push myself artificially to this emotional state that, well, and I start to cry, but it is genuine feeling heart that I realize how poor I am, that I need help, and I really start to cry over my weaknesses, sins, passions, and he says that God really loves to see this decoration, you know, tears as a decoration of our soul. And so it means that, again, when we go to this, we realize that, so how we need this preparation, this time for preparation, that those things should somehow appear in our head, in our heart, to get ready for the prayer. And this is why we even like we need several minutes before we start prayer, morning or evening prayer. We should really have this few minutes to go through, to really ask why I'm praying. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to talk to King of Kings. And how, what I'm asking for, what is the most important for me? And to really raise these questions, to realize this value of this time. And once I realize that, I will be able to simplify my thoughts, collect them, to gain a more, I will become more attentive to this. And then the same is with the liturgy, you know, that I know that like during like weekdays it's difficult for many to come like and to spend time as a preparation, but like Sundays it's great, and I am so happy to see more and more people like Sunday before liturgy. There are these 30 minutes before liturgy, how many people are in the church, even earlier. And it doesn't matter what kind of prayer it is, but just to calm down, to go to silence, to start to prepare, to realize what is going on, what we are preparing for. This is a wonderful thing which will help us to go to the depth of the liturgy. It will be not just time we have to go through somehow, but we will be, this preparation will push us to the depth, that we will, each liturgy will be, something new will be revealing to us. All right, may we continue? All right, so another paragraph.
The fundamental condition of successful prayer is forgiveness of all offenses, even the most grievous, without any exception. The Savior commanded, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. The prayer of those who recall evils done to them are seeds sown among the stones, said St. Isaac the Syrian.
Yeah. Well, isn't it very hard to fulfill this condition? You know, when you come to liturgy and, well, there was something happened during the day that really you feel pain. And it was injustice done to you, and you know that. And everything in your heart is like, there is like storm in your heart, in your soul, and all these thoughts are and plans for revenge probably, or solution to the situation are there. And then you realize during this preparation that, well, actually I cannot pray because I didn't forget. And you start to okay, so you want to pray, you want this help, you know that it's wrong. And you start to this process of forgiving. And then you find that how difficult it is. That you realize, okay, on this intellectual level in your mind, yes, I give my forgiveness. I really want to forgive, but you feel that your heart is rebellious, you know, that it's not happening there. But actually, this is good process, you know, through this process, I have to ask not only, I was try to force myself that, well, that to violently to forgive, I should turn my process of thinking why I am not able to forgive. And what I find, usually it is my pride. And I realize that, well, it's my pride which doesn't want me to forgive, because this pride was touched not pleasantly, and still rules in me. And when I realize that, the process for this forgiveness is then easier, because I can see that the fault is in this, not fault on this situation, but fault that I'm not able to forgive is on my side, because I'm not able because forgive because of my pride. Once I realize that, I'm able to acquire this humility, you know, to come to senses and to realize, okay, this state, well, it was not justice, but, well, I don't need to suffer spiritually because somebody did something wrong to me. I don't want to suffer more than I suffered. And I make this act of humility. I will humble myself. And well, maybe my emotions will not say that, okay, not bring me like perfect peace and perfect love, but at least from my heart I will give this forgiveness. It's, and actually at the time it's very good, as he says, that that to pray, to start to pray for them, even in the fallen prayer for those who cause difficulties for us, it's good if I start to pray immediately for them, you know, for God's grace for them. If we don't do this, like this Isaac says, that the prayer of those who recall evils done to them are seeds sown among the stones. So I have to realize that it's almost useless to pray if I don't fulfill this condition. But it is time of a huge warfare, spiritual warfare. It is really bloody effort, because I have to put to my heart to peace. I have to really conquer the time passions which are like in flame, and it is difficult to conquer that. I have to gather all my spiritual power to go over this, and it's not easy. But with each fight which is won, we are getting strength to win next fight. Okay. Comments?
I just have a question. You know, if you have a problem like that where someone has wronged you and you try to forget about it, and it comes back, like it comes back to haunt you, what do you just try to pray at that time, or?
Well, if it comes back, you mean like memory or mm-hmm. the same thing?
The memory.
So if memory comes and it is still painful, and you have to force yourself to forgive again, it means that this act of forgiveness was not done correctly, you know, that, and it is very common, because that fight, we have to realize that many times we think that this fight is like, okay, I make decision, I won, now I forgave, it's done. No, the demons, they, if they see, especially if they somehow can see from our acting that it is like our weak place, they will attack again with the same thing. So for sure they bring this memory to you, and it means that it is process you have to repeat again. And sometimes what helps, from my like experience as a pastor, as a spiritual father, is that what helps in this returning of memories, practical thing, is to make radical act. For example, there was a person who suffered from another person, okay, something very bad thing. And well, in the end, because they were relatives, and also he tried to forget, but it returned back and back and back. But they were not talking about it. They were always like, everything's okay. But still, that man, he felt that, well, it's not right, because it was always in his mind. So he made decision. He went there to visit, and he said, look, I still remember what happened, and I don't like that. So I came, and I would like to ask your to forgive me for everything that I have done to you. So that person who was like victim, he decided to come and ask for forgiveness from that person who did wrong to him. And that the person, but he prayed for that, you know, he didn't go just like that. I think he prayed like for nine, he made his novena, mm-hmm. and then he went and he asked that for forgiveness, and from the time, even this memory returned back, but it was without pain. You know, it was not this pain which caused this passion. Just he gained peace from that, and those are things, you know, that sometimes you have to make even like these radicals. And you might remember that in our second parish, when we came there, and it was quite difficult situation, you know, a lot of broken relationships, and so we had we started this like some kind of retreat for parish shortly after we came. We prepared well for that, and but it was really amazing how God was healing people. And I remember that on third day, I think I said that it's time to ask each other for forgiveness, start again. I told, go and visit, you know, your friends you are in bad relationship. And actually, one lady, she came to me and she said, well, you know, my neighbor, they live like close to like houses together. And she said, well, we don't keep any anger to each other, you know, but we don't speak. You know, because if we start to speak, it would be so. But we don't. I said, well, it's not right, you know. And he said, but she did that and that. I said, oh my. I said, well, you have to finish that, you know. You have to do something. So what I'm supposed to do? I told her, you know what? Bake a cake. Take a bottle of wine. Go visit her and tell her, forgive me. I cannot live like that. And she said, I can do this. So she did. And then they started to be like good friends from that. But she told me, well, you know, Father, it worked. But you were wrong with one thing. I said, one thing? One bottle of wine was not enough. So it was like, but she told me that, well, that they were like 6 or 7 hours they were talking. He said, we had to like go through all those things we didn't have time for those years we were not talking together. So sometimes this act of radical approach, especially when you are prepared, it cannot be like, you have to pray for that, really. Trying to do God's will, not for myself, just for your spiritual life. There are miracles. But it starts not with that I came to forgive you, even to humble yourself, to become with this humility, to come and first don't mention other things, but ask for forgiveness for yourself, or that because everybody does commit sins. I mean, many times we don't know how we could touch somebody, even without intention. Sometimes we don't know why the person keeps like this grudge. Yeah, against us, because we did nothing, but then we can learn after years of all, because we said something and it was, that person was touched, not pleasantly, you know, through our words. It's difficult. Our passions, they cause like disorder in world, in relationships, it's, okay. It did.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Patrick has.
Yes.
This reminds me of the preacher that at his during his sermon, he was saying, is there anyone among us who doesn't have an enemy? You know, we all have enemies, people that, and this one little old lady raised her hand. He said, you have no enemies? She said, not a one. Well, come up here. So he brings her up. He says, how old are you? She said, I'm 92. And you don't have a single enemy? She said, not a one. He said, tell me, how do you live to be 92 and not have any enemies? She said, I outlived them all.
Well, this is another solution. Yeah. Wow. All right, so another two paragraphs.
Temperate, wise, constant abstinence from food and drink makes the body light, clears the mind, gives it strength, and thus also serves as a preparation for prayer. Lack of abstinence in terms of food makes the body heavy, stupid, coarsens the heart, and darkens the mind. No sooner does the one satisfied with food stand up for prayer than somnolence and laziness attack him. His imagination paints many impure thoughts, and his heart is incapable of feeling compunction. As harmful as intemperance is, even more so is excessive fasting. The weakness of the body that invariably accompanies it does not allow for prayer in the necessary amount or with the necessary concentration and power.
Yeah. So actually he repeats what we are talking about, what is chapter 19 on fasting. So he reminds us, this his teaching over there, and what he reminds us is that this moderation is very important. So it means that yes, we fast, we pay attention to how we eat, we don't eat to our fullness, but we don't fast to extreme that where we are weak. True is that we should, like, to pray is really art, and somehow to stay in this prayerful state, we have to really watch ourselves, we have to see when we cannot pray, and we have to ask why my prayer was not good today. It is something what came from outside, it is something what in this on this level of heart that we have something against somebody, or our passions is like alive, you know. Sometimes, you know, we can be caught by these thoughts about vainglory, or thoughts about how to gain some kind of success in this world, and it is in our mind, or other passions can be present in our mind, but we have to really watch ourselves, how our being, I mean body and soul, is acting. So it is really that I have to see if I ate a little bit more, or what kind of food I ate. You know, this is very, very important, you know, to mark that and to realize, okay, if I next time I have to pay more attention, you know, that everything in our life, you know, how we eat, what we drink, and everything we should always have to keep in mind, will be this help for my life, or it will be barrier for my prayer. If we put this relationship with God, this ability to enter again to his presence and to pray, so then this is very important. All these barriers are not good for us. Actually, we have to be very careful, especially when we are visiting somebody, because sometimes it's very difficult to say no. You know, that to persons who wants to give you the best, and they want to, you know, so like there's a joke about this Italian grandmas, you know, that if you are going there, so it's like full table. I think that the master, Michael Scala, he was master how to lead you from away from prayer very well. No, it was like this time it was difficult to pray after we visited him.
How do you distinguish that line between not wanting to think that you're this holy person trying to not letting somebody know that you're fasting versus saying, or like abstaining from food because you don't want to be overfull from prayer. Sorry, I don't want to eat this because I have to pray later and I won't be able to pray. You don't want to say that to somebody. You want to graciously accept their hospitality and not offend them.
Well, for sure. Like if you are in fasting time, you know, it's so difficult many times. And because of that, we have to really, like in the fasting time, we have to choose if we are going somewhere or not. Because if we are going somewhere, so there's over difficulties can arise that I will be not able to say no, you know, or if I explain why, so then I can cause difficulties for the others. So, you know, so I would say the first defense line is to choose where to go. And if you go to a place when those people understand, when you say, okay, I have enough, I still have to pray, I have fast, and they understand totally, so it's fine to go there. But otherwise, I would be very careful with this one thing. I remember that, like, before, like, big feast, like, Christmas or Easter, we were meeting, like there was like circulation of priests, that priests gather for the Monday and Wednesday, the confessions were heard in my parish, for example, so all priests from presbytery came, and while they were in confession for 3 hours, and it was done, you know, like all people came for confession. Everybody wanted to come. So usually after there was some kind of like refreshment was given. And I did it only once, and I said, well, if I am spiritual father for here, so I am responsible for my parish. So I didn't attend those circles, but I always went to this bigger city to help because they are really a lot of people. And I remember that when I went there and we were keeping like this, some kind of more strict fast, and I came for the supper, this wife priest, she prepares supper, and it was something I couldn't eat. I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to eat this. And I said, don't worry, you know, don't worry, and it's everything okay, I'm not hungry, and you know, but after like 20 minutes she came and she prepared something different for me. And I realized, yeah, how stupid you are. You know, she was working for these 12 guys, you know, preparing supper, and you force her to make another dish for you. You know, and from the time I stopped to go for supper, you know, if I knew that, well, to go there and to say that, well, I'm fasting, you know, and it was even like bad because you put others to some kind of bad light. But it was our decision to go more strict. So I couldn't apply for others. But so it means that you have to choose not to go, one thing. And if you are there, it's always good to really put some kind of limits. If you can take, you take what you want. Especially if there are people who are not, they don't have the spiritual understanding, it's better just to keep this moderation. And there are a lot of stories like for, it's difficult, you know, because like from this, Laos says something different. There are a lot of stories from the Holy Fathers. They say that of these monks from desert, that when they got like a visitor, this Aramita who live alone, so he prepared meat and he ate meat with them, and everybody was scandalized. They said, well, who knows? God, Abraham met 3 angels and it was God. You know, you never know who is coming to visit you. He took it this way. or another monk who never drink alcohol, but he went to it, so they pour a wine and he drank because he didn't want to be different from that. And but then he put strict fast for another week, you know, as a punishment for himself. It's difficult, but one thing is that especially if there's like fasting season, what is so then to avoid this opportunity if you know that you will be forced. Does it make sense? Okay. Can you continue?
The proper amount of prayer is determined for each person depending on the manner of his life and the amount of his spiritual and physical strength. The two mites of the widow, which were brought by her to the temple and made up the entirety of her earthly holdings, were counted greater on the scales of the just God than the large donations brought by the rich from their excess money. You may judge similarly with prayer. Assign yourself an amount that accords to your strength, and remember the wise advice of the great ascetic guide. If you force your weak body to work beyond its strength, you will darken your soul and bring it only confusion, not benefit. But from him who is healthy and full of strength is expected a correspondingly powerful prayer. Any prayer, said the same great father, during which your body is not forced to submit and your heart is not brought to compunction, will not be accepted as fruitful, since such prayer is soulless.
So this is again, you can see how they were wise in this. They were not putting like the same measure for everybody. They really realize that each person is different, and it means that it's impossible for one to pray so much for the other. And this is something what we have to realize. And one thing is, and this is something what disappeared. Maybe it was never here somehow. That this role of spiritual father, that you're a spiritual father, you are talking about those things. You are creating a prayer rule for yourself. It means, and this, you ask for blessing, it means for some kind of a blessing, it's approval of your prayer rule. You let spiritual father to look, okay, this is what I'm praying. What do you think, it's enough or it is too much? It is okay. What I'm supposed to do. And this is very important because many times we can enter to that season when some kind of zeal comes because we are touched by God's grace. And we can put on our shoulders like huge amounts of prayer. You know, I remember that those who read this about these monks, holy monks who pray all night, they say, oh yeah, I can pray like for several hours each evening and every day I will be doing that. And they failed after when this fire disappeared, and it is really hard work then. So they went to another extreme, they stopped to pray totally. You know, so you have to have this balance, one thing. But he says that those who are healthy from those, this expectation that you are doing good prayer. It means that even your body will be involved. And he means this fasting and especially fasting which or abstinence which prepares us for prayer, or this posture, how we if we stand or kneel. He said, but without that, without this preparation of when we put our body and heart together for prayer, this prayer will not bring any fruit. That it is something like a sacrifice we have to bring, you know, not sacrifice. It's all those things are we are doing even this preparation and this fasting and the posture and everything, everything should help us to calm that our heart is in pain and it's crying out and calling upon God for grace, forgiveness, and mercy. All right, let's have another one, because then we would finish here, because then is another part is coming, which it would be not good to start today because there's like long break.
If you are busy with various responsibilities, or if you are a monk burdened with many obediences that do not allow you to dedicate as much time to prayer as you would like, do not be downcast. If your work is done properly and with a good conscience, it will prepare you for deep prayer and will replace quantity of prayer with quality. Nothing prepares a person for successful prayer as much as a clean conscience satisfied with God-pleasing work.
This is very good, you know, like advice, and it gives us relief. And when I mentioned that this reading, especially when we read about these elders, you know, and these famous ones like temporal, like Pisces, Joseph, and Porphyrios, Sophrony, now recently, who died several days ago, is Father Ephraim, Elder Ephraim. And when you hear that they spend like 8 hours in night in prayer, standing in prayer each night, and then they kept prayer during the day. So it is amazing. And then you look to your life and you say, well, it is like nothing what I am praying. And sometimes we can come to sadness that we are not doing that. What I'm saying that this advice he gives us now, it is not we can use as excuse for laziness, because if we're lazy, there is no forgiveness for us. We should conquer forgiveness, but because of our duties. For sure, we cannot arrange our time if we are filled, we have duties and responsibility in our work or in our family. So you have to fulfill all these responsibilities. So usually, especially like mothers who have little children and they are taking care of household, you know, and so they found themselves that, well, they are stealing time for a little bit prayer. And so many times they are like, oh, I cannot pray. It's like all time this disturbance. But he says, well, if you are busy with all these tasks, so then even like this little prayer, you say, will have depth, which replace quantity. That is, God gives you this grace of quality, you know, that if you do it with clear conscience. So it is something that we can see that God is not some kind of tyrant. And actually each person is different. And again, I think that this role of spiritual father, you know, you are talking about this and you are trying to set up your prayer rule for yourself, and you say, well, this is what I can do, and well, there is possibility, and it is easier to find the balance, because you will not put on your shoulder too much and you will not put just a minimum. You know, you just good amount of prayer time, and it is good thing, and it will bring peace to heart. Many times it is that it is more strict than we expect. You know, you come to spiritual father, you say, well, I'm praying this, and well, it's okay. No. So usually it is this way, you know. But even in this, you know, you can realize very fast that through this correction of understanding what prayer is and how important prayer life is, it comes with that, you know, because you are forced to keep new prayer rule, and then you realize that actually it is good for you. You know, it opens you more for God. All right.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.